Welcome once again to the Afternoon Tea Detective Hour. I'm here with world-famous detective E.G. Lavender, who is sharing with us the conclusion of his story about the first coffee shop in Pottsville and the intrigue and drama that surrounded its opening. When we last left off, E.G. was trying to prove Ted's innocence in the case of arson at the Breakfast Nook Cafe. Meanwhile, Ted, Velvet, and Jasmine Pearl were in grave danger at the community theater as the heavy stage curtain fell towards them. What happened next, E.G.?
Well, first, I thought our listeners might want a brief overview of the history of the old Pottsville Community Theater.
An overview of the history? I need to know if Ted and Jasmine lived or died!
You came to our New Year's Eve party. You literally saw both of them a few weeks ago.
As a narrator, I live in a state outside linear space and time, and I am driven only by a desire to know what happens next in the story!
You what?
Please, detective! Lives are at stake!
Okay, where was I? I was in my office trying to draw up a detailed chart of anyone who might want to frame Ted for burning down the coffee shop. The only problem was I didn't see how anyone could dislike Ted. I mean, they're just so charming and outgoing and, well, they're kind and talented. And I was interrupted by a phone call. E.G. Lavender, private investigator. How can I help you?
Uncle E.G., it's Jazz. Something weird is happening at the theater. Ted and I were standing on stage going over lighting cues, and the curtain almost fell on us.
The curtain? But it's nearly 1,000 pounds. Are you all right? Is Ted all right?
We're both fine. We managed to dive out of the way in time, but we're just shaken up.
Are you sure it wasn't just natural wear and tear on the curtain?
That's what I thought, but Uncle, all the sandbags were slashed open, and it looks like someone cut through the curtain hooks with some kind of torch.
You're right. That doesn't sound like any ordinary wear and tear. I'm on my way over. Stay away from anything heavy until I get there. When I got to the theater, Jasmine and Ted were waiting on the curb out front for me.
I just got off the phone with the contractor. They said it will take a week to get the curtain back up. A week! The play opens in a week! What are we supposed to do?
Weren't you just freaking out about almost getting murdered?
Yes, well, I didn't get murdered, did I? And the show must go on, mustn't it?
It really could have been anyone.
What do you mean?
I mean, I find it unusual that Ted has been involved in 2 separate incidents over the past 48 hours. The fire at the coffee shop, and now this situation at the theater.
Are you accusing me of sabotaging my own production? Of putting Jasmine and myself in danger?
On the contrary, Ted, I think the curtain situation may be the key to proving your innocence in the Breakfast Nook fire.
How so?
If someone wanted to get back at Ted for some real or imagined slight or take them down a peg or two, maybe stop them from directing the play, their first step might have been to try and besmirch Ted's reputation. And if that didn't work fast enough for them, they may have resorted to dropping the curtains on you.
They've got some self-control. I wouldn't have been able to resist shouting, "It's curtains for you, Ted Velvet!"
That's because you don't have a murderous temperament.
Well, this is all a good theory, Uncle E.G., but how are you going to prove it?
That's where our world-class detective skills kick in. Come on, Jasmine. Ted, to the detective agency! The most obvious solution would be that the saboteur is someone who is planning something important on December 5th, the day that both the Christmas play and the coffee shop are supposed to open.
You know, I had the same thought, so I looked into the community calendar as well as the calendars of all the major event venues I could find. There isn't much. I think most people were planning to go to the play. The laundromat is having a nickel wash Tuesday, but that hardly seems worth attempting arson and murder over.
Good sleuthing, Jasmine. That doesn't completely rule out the double booking theory, but we'll put it on the back burner for now. We should also consider whether someone might be trying to shut down the play for reasons other than self-promotion. Perhaps they're bitter about something that happened with last year's show.
I looked at microfiche film of local newspapers from around the time of last year's play. The reviews and reports all seemed pretty positive.
Maybe it's an actor scorn situation. Was there anyone in last year's play who didn't get a part in this year's play? Ted? Ted? Ted! Wake up!
Huh? Oh, sorry. I must have dozed off. It's sort of dull listening to a bunch of hypothesizing. Are you sure I need to stay here? I could be working on...
We need you to answer questions about anyone who might have a grudge against you.
Besides, would you rather be in here with us or out there where whoever tried to drop a 1,000-pound curtain on you is running around?
I see your point. What is it you were asking, E.G.?
Is there anyone from last year's play that didn't get recast in this year's play? An actor who might be resentful at losing a role?
Well, I didn't recast Kim Brulé this year, but that's only because she moved out to Laurelhurst. Traitor. But other than that, it's pretty much all the same people. We have a limited talent pool here in Pottsville.
I guess it's back to the drawing board.
Ooh! A literal drawing board!
All right. So we have the coffee shop fire and the theater curtain. The only known connection between the two is Ted. If we can figure out another connection, a secondary link, we'll have an idea of how to narrow this all down. Ted stayed at our house that night. For safety. Eventually, they went to bed and Jasmine decided to call it a night as well. I stayed up to the wee hours of the morning, certain I would find the answers I was looking for.
Okay, okay. The fire. Coffee. Coffee sandbags. No. The theater. Coffee. Coffee. The fire. Fire. The sandbags. Fire. Sand. Fire. And sand. That's it!
Well, since the audience has been reassured that you found the answer to your case, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, Plum Deluxe Tea!
So much for an uncontrollable urge to know what happens next.
It's rivaled only by my insatiable thirst for Plum Deluxe Teas! Speaking of which, listeners, or at least those of you in the Northern Hemisphere, winter is setting in. The air is getting colder, the days are getting shorter. Are you prepared? Prepared with your backstock of warming Plum Deluxe Holiday Teas, that is, from exciting herbals like Candy Cane Rooibos and Holiday Embrace Spice Cranberry, to inspiring caffeinated teas like Vanilla Toddy and Grandma's Caramel Butterscotch, Plum Deluxe will keep you cozy all season long! And if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, Plum Deluxe has signature teas perfect for cold brew, like Fog Cutter Lemon Irish Breakfast or Dragon Fruit Desire Herbal. Go to plumdeluxe.com/detective for a special offer just for our listeners. Now, back to the show!
Well, I was so thrilled to have come up with some kind of lead that I immediately woke up Ted and Jasmine to tell them my new theory.
E.G., this had better be good. It's 3:00 in the morning.
I just fell asleep.
Both of you need to sleep more.
Oh, don't worry. It's good. I've cracked this case wide open. It was right in front of our noses the whole time. The fire in the coffee shop. The slashed open sandbags in the theater. Fire and sand. Put those two together, and what do you get?
Hot sand?
Glass.
What I meant.
Glass! Exactly! The culprit is a glassblower!
Okay, what does that have to do with Ted?
Well, Ted, have you had any interactions with glassblowers recently?
No, not really. I did buy a lot of glass pitchers from Alan Alloy for last year's Christmas play. You know, the scene where Sandra drops the pitcher in shock when James comes home from the war?
That's it. He's mad at you for ruining his creations and destroying them so frivolously. Alan Alloy is my number one suspect!
I don't know if that makes sense.
E.G., you need to go to bed.
Now that you mention it, I could use a quick power nap. But I'll be talking to Mr. Alloy in the morning. Then you'll see.
The next morning, around 3 p.m. or so, I went over to Alan Alloy's glassblowing workshop. Alan had been Clementine Gray's apprentice at the Crystal Orchard for some time before starting his own business called Lakeside Glassware. As soon as I walked into the building, I could tell something was off. Mr. Alloy, are you here?
Pardon me? What are you doing here? I don't take kindly to people snooping around my business.
I just wanted to ask you a few questions.
About what?
Well, all these fireworks you're stockpiling here, for one thing.
Well, I'm storing these up for a rainy day.
Not to be judgmental, Alan. Can I call you Alan? But a rainy day is a pretty terrible time to set off fireworks.
No, it's the perfect time to set up fireworks. The air's all wet and murky. You know you're not going to set anything on fire.
Speaking of fire, these are the kind of fireworks that started the fire at the new Breakfast Nook Coffee House.
That could have been anybody. Everybody in town has these fireworks.
Actually, I've been informed by the manufacturer that they don't. In fact, only one other person in town is a regular customer.
Why? It must be that young whippersnapper, Ted Velvet.
And speaking of Ted Velvet, they recently had an incident where someone attempted to kill them by dropping a 1,000-pound curtain on them.
And it would have served them right. Ted Velvet ruined my life. They disrespected my work. They absolutely demolished my creations and destroyed them frivolously for the sake of theatrics.
Huh. Well, I guess when you're right, you're right.
I guess it's gotta happen every once in a while. But that still leaves us without a venue for the Christmas play.
That may not be entirely true. Oh, one second.
Thanks so much for inviting me over, EG.
Oh, hi, Ella.
Hi, Jasmine.
Ella, this is my partner, Ted. Ted, this is Ella, the owner of the Breakfast Nook Coffee Shop.
Oh, hello. Nice to meet you. I heard what happened to your shop. I'm so sorry.
And I heard what happened to your theater. I thought that maybe we could help each other out.
Oh? How so?
I've had some work done on me building since the fire. It's not ready to be a coffee shop yet, but it is ready to be a temporary performing arts venue.
Really? Are you sure?
I'd be honored.
Well, then, I'd have to insist that proceeds from the tickets go directly to replacing your lost equipment.
Do you think the townspeople will be okay with supporting a new coffee shop in town?
I think they'll learn to be Jasmine. I think they'll learn. And so, the holiday spirit was restored in Pottsville once again. The Christmas play was a smash hit and raised enough money to replace all of Ella's equipment. The Breakfast Nook opened just in time for the new year.
What a heartwarming tale! And don't forget to join us next month, folks! We'll be starting a brand new adventure, chosen by you, the listeners of the Afternoon Tea Detective Hour!
Thank you for listening to Afternoon Tea Detective Hour. Breakfast in Dread, Part 3, was directed by Shelby Walden. It was written by Alora Powell and edited by Noah Powell. The narrator and E.G. Lavender were played by Cameron Widmark. Ted Velvet was played by Joshua Hebert. Jasmine Pearl was played by the Magnanimous Moth. Alan Alloy was played by Precious Greaves. Ella Latte was played by Emma Standerford. In spite of what the narrator said, we will not be posting a new episode for the month of February. Instead, we will be replaying a previous episode, so if you have friends who haven't caught up on the show yet, be sure to tell them to listen in. We'll be back in March with a new episode chosen by you, the audience.